And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us or staying with us. Hour 4 Morning Drive is on the radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live inside of Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Big final hour coming up. We've got the big finish. We've got our picks. We'll get some gambling perspective from the Philly Godfather. But we begin the final hour with a very simple question. Where's Dan? And no, this is not a spoof on Dan Marino and Ace Ventura from Ace Ventura Pet Detective back in 1994. Though this has to do with Dan Enos. And this is one of the strangest, and I would say almost unprofessional or maybe even cowardly decisions a guy can make and the way you handle a decision when it comes to your career. So the story is Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, as well as some of the local guys that cover Alabama, reporting that Dan Enos, who was promoted to offensive coordinator in the replacing of Mike Locksley, who went to Maryland, has decided to take the OC job at Miami with Manny Diaz. Now, the story goes, and this is according to multiple people, that when Nick Saban showed up at the coaching facility, he looked in Dan Enos' office, and it was empty, and he said, "Where's Dan?" And apparently Dan Enos basically pulled the Baltimore Colts from way back in the day and hightailed it out in the middle of the night and never even said anything that he was departing.
So, first of all, wildly, I kind of love this.
This is great.
I kind of love it just because it's like, you know what, Nick Saban, forget you, dude. Like, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Now, what's weird is it's wildly unprofessional. So, if you ever expect to work for Nick Saban again or anybody in the Nick Saban world that where he has influence, you're probably not going to get a job anymore because it is pretty unprofessional to do that. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. But, man, I just want to know what the next 5 seconds were like. Like, the first 10 seconds when Nick Saban walked into that office and looked around and saw that his guy was gone, that he just promoted to offensive coordinator at Alabama, had left without telling him and cleared out his office. I want to know what Nick Saban's first 15 seconds of reaction were. I would love to have that on camera.
Well, this is what I want to understand. One, after being promoted, what caused you to leave to take the same job? It's a lateral move. It's not a vertical move. It's a lateral move.
So you it's a downward move.
Yeah, kind of sort. Yeah,
I mean,
you're
going
right,
from Alabama to Miami.
Alabama, but I'm talking like just strictly position. And then who's the head coach? Because just retired, right?
Manny Diaz.
Yeah, Manny Diaz.
Mark Richt retired,
yeah,
and then
Manny Diaz took over.
Yep.
So
who had just taken the Temple job. And then left Temple to come to Miami.
So this is
the
thing. Yeah, this is the thing. This is the theme right here.
This has been one of the best college football off seasons of all time.
So take a job.
Oh, by the way, Urban Meyer has a job.
So take a job and then leave as soon as you take the job.
Well, that one makes sense though, because when you go to, he was just at Miami. He had just left to go to Temple, and then his dream job, Miami, comes available, and they ask him to do it. I'm sorry, you leave Temple, no disrespect to your alma mater, Nick.
No, not at all, I would too.
You leave Temple for the Miami job
but
in 10 seconds.
Doesn't Manny Diaz make a phone call to Nick Saban? Because Dan Enos is under contract. Isn't there a phone call that should be made to Nick Saban? Like, okay, we want to interview your OC, or we have interviewed your OC.
Well, it's not so much about him, it's the way he left.
I know that, but it's common courtesy on everybody's part.
Yeah,
like Manny Diaz called Nick Saban, Dan Enos, tell Nick Saban that he just promoted you. Tell him that you're during the promotion stage that, hey, I might be taking the job at Miami. I'm thinking about it. I've talked to, you know, to Manny. What do you think about it, coach?
Here's Dan Enos' response to the story on Twitter. He says, "I would never leave an employer without telling them I was doing so. No ghosting here. Nothing but respect for Coach Nick Saban in Alabama. Bottom line, business is business, and it was time for me to exit. Wish all the best to Roll Tide Roll, Coach Nick Saban, and the program." He's basically arguing that that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. I trust the reporting on this. I think if you're going to do that to a coach, Nick Saban is the type of coach you might not want to. Because that's a really tough conversation,
no,
right?
No, it is.
Hey, Coach Saban, I know you just gave me this job, but I'm about to leave. Like, that's a really hard conversation, but it's a lesson for young people out there. You're going to have really tough conversations in life that make you uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean it's still the right thing to do. Like, you
especially
still need to do
if they're going to pay you more money, if they're going to give you more responsibility as an OC, then it would be beneficial for you to have that conversation with Nick Saban. Now, Dan Enos saying it didn't happen that way. So if it didn't happen that way, then, you know, poor on, you know, the individual that wrote the story, shame on him. But if it did happen that way and Dan Enos is now saying, no, that's not the case, then shame on Dan Enos for even putting out, for trying to make the reporter seem like he or she doesn't know what they're talking
about. Well, and here's what's interesting about this. So Josh Gattis, also a fascinating story. He was here at Vanderbilt under James Franklin and went to Penn State when Franklin took the Penn State job. He was the wide receivers coach there, has never called plays, was on the Alabama coaching staff, was going to go with Mike Locksley to Maryland. Jim Harbaugh cold calls him out of nowhere and says, Josh Gattis, would you like to be Michigan's play caller next year? Has never met the guy. Josh Gattis even has admitted he never stepped foot on campus and took the job at Michigan while telling Nick Saban, apparently Nick Saban chewed him out for 20 minutes trying to convince him to stay, which is really strange. Like, if you're that angry that the guy's leaving, are you yelling at the guy on purpose trying to get, like, how is that going to convince him to stay, I guess? So there is some story out there that when Josh Gattis left, which, by the way, under very strange and bizarre circumstances to go to Michigan from Alabama, that he spent 20 minutes getting his butt chewed by Nick Saban. Maybe Dan Enos saw that happen and was like, yeah, I just don't want to deal with that crap. And he just said, no, I'm out.
Well, what do you guys think about this? Because now I believe he's lost half of his staff from this past season. There's one guy left from the 2017 coaching staff. We have been of the belief Saban hires really good people, and when you do that, you're going to lose really good people to better jobs. Is there now a belief with the way some people are exiting that maybe Nick Saban's approach or the way he handles people, or there's a negative connotation applied to people bolting?
I don't think this is new. Mm-hmm. Everybody has known for 15 years that working for Nick Saban is very hard. Being in the facility around him, like when he walks through the facility, the Death March from Star Wars plays, right? It's like dun 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 dun. Like that's what it sounds like when he walks through the hallway, and it's hard. He's hard to work for. But guess what happens to your career when you leave there? It goes right up because you now are viewed in a different way. And so, this isn't new. Mm-hmm. Like Jim McElwain was there for a couple years, won a title, left. You know what I mean? Like the offensive Lane Kiffin leaves, then Steve Sarkisian, then Brian DeBall, then Mike Locksley. Then even within 1 year, we've seen multiple changes before, right? Because we saw him fire a coach after a playoff win.
Yeah.
He fires Lane Kiffin after a playoff win and hires Steve Sarkisian, who, oh, by the way, is now back as the offensive coordinator. Pretty nice little landing pad there for Nick Saban. He ends up with the guy who had the fourth best passing offense in the NFL last year now running his team. I think it affects his team. I think it's allowed Dabo Swinney and Clemson to catch up with him to some degree because Clemson is the opposite. Clemson is completely all built on stability, right? They don't lose players out of recruiting classes. They don't lose coaches in the offseason. Clemson is the most stable program there is right now, and that has helped them gain ground on Alabama and beat them in two of the last 3 years in the tournament. I don't think you can undersell that. I also think that it doesn't really change much from Alabama's standpoint. They're going to have great coaches, and they're going to be a really great team.
Could the bigger loss be Tosh Lapoy to the NFL, who was the young defensive coordinator, but not so much from a coaching standpoint? Apparently, Alabama's best recruiter.
No, yeah, he's a baller recruiter.
Landed Tua and Najee Harris.
Well, and it's funny. He was considered an elite up-and-coming recruiter for Cal when he got started at Cal, and then he got busted for some NCAA stuff, so he kind of got demoted and then ended up getting fired. And then, you go to Alabama. When you get fired, you go to Alabama as an intern or a graduate assistant, and you work your way back
on.
You get rehab, and you work your way back onto their staff, and that's what Tosh Lapoy did, a phenomenal recruiter. But again, sure, okay, there's some concern there that they've had such a turnstile of coaches at Alabama that could affect the team. But at the end of the day, is anybody worried about Alabama recruiting? Is anybody worried about Alabama winning games? Like, I'm just not. So,
I mean, they're going to continue to have this as long as their program is one of the upper echelon programs in college football. They're going to have coaches. Why do you think? I think that's why Nick was the first one that chose to hire like 30 coaches, because he understands that this thing is an ever changing sort of monster. It gets bigger and bigger, and things and parts change. So if I have, you know, 8 or 9 coaches just waiting in the wing, then yes, it hurts somewhat losing a coach, but it doesn't hurt as much if I don't have these guys in the back waiting. That's why you see other top-notch.
I mean, Butch Jones is there.
Exactly. That's why you see other top-notch programs hiring, you know, new coaches day in and day out, and guys that are just doing the little things that you think, like, why are you doing this? Well, because eventually that guy's in that position is leaving, and I'm going to get promoted.
And probably the biggest name that left out of all this is a name we haven't mentioned, and that's Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart was there for a longer period of time than people realize. He was there for, like, 7 years as the coordinator. That's a lot of stability for Nick Saban, and that's when their defenses were the best, right? Was that chunk of time when they won 2011, 2012, 2015. It was those defenses that were the best Alabama defenses ever. That's the name that really has hurt him, is Kirby Smart, because now Kirby Smart's taking players from him at Georgia.
All right, when we come back, we will shift our focus to conference championship Sunday. The Philly Godfather will tell us how you can make a few dollars on the AFC and the NFC championship games. That's next here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
All right, guys, New Year's resolutions, they're hard. That's why my wife and I don't like them. We're not big fans. We're big New Year's intentions people. But forget all of that. You can get an amazing deal during the Xfinity New Year New Deal experience. And that's easy, far easier than a resolution. Now through February 3rd, get started with Xfinity television and internet for only $35 each a month for 2 years when you bundle both with a 2-year agreement, and you'll get download speeds of up to 150 megabits per second. Plus, you'll get Stars and Showtime included for a year. I just started watching Counterpart on Stars. Really good stuff. You should check it out. With Xfinity, you can use the X1 voice remote to quickly find and watch your favorite shows on Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, and more. And you can watch the best shows, of course, movies, and even live television on the Xfinity Stream app with the most reliable internet. This sale ends February 3rd, so seriously, guys, learn more about the Xfinity New Year New Deal today. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, visit your local Xfinity store. Requires EcoBill, paperless billing, and auto-pay enrollment. Restrictions apply. New X1 starter double play customers only. Actual speeds vary. Equipment taxes and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change after agreement term and premium promo regular rates apply. Netflix and Prime Video streaming memberships are required.
Live The Game, broadcasting live inside of Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Our picks coming up at the bottom of the hour. Of course, we've got the big finish at 9:45, but it's a Friday. We're rolling into another football weekend. We're down to three meaningful football games, two of which will come your way this Sunday afternoon. And here to break it down from a Vegas perspective, we welcome in the Philly Godfather. Philly Godfather, how are you?
A little cold, a little frigid out here in the city of brotherly love, but we're ready to fire and trying to help you guys make some money.
All right, let's see if we can fire it up and heat it up. Let's start with the NFC Championship game, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the one-seed Saints against the two-seed Rams. Tell us where the money's going and if the line has, in fact, moved one way or the other.
Yeah, sure. This line opened up with the Saints being 3.5-point favorites over the Rams with a combined total set at 56.5. And since then, we've seen some small money hit the screen in the early market, which has caused this price to bounce back and forth from 3 to 3.5 all week. The total has also seen a slight half-point uptick to 57 at BetCris and some of the shops in Las Vegas, while offshore giant Pinnacle Sports is still holding steady at 56.5. As of right now, you can purchase the Saints at -3.5, even money at most sports books in the desert, while BetCris down in the islands is sitting right at that key number of 3 and has eliminated the hook for now. Nick, I actually like the Saints here at -3. I won't be surprised if they win by double digits again to kill all teasers. I know the Rams have been averaging 106 more rushing yards per game than the Saints over recent play, and at least on paper, it looks like they beat the better team, Dallas, by a bigger margin than New Orleans beat Philly. But the reality is the Eagles were better than Dallas heading into the playoffs, which was evident by the recent play metrics, along with the fact that Nick Foles can actually beat you with his arm, while Prescott, he's just not that type of quarterback. The Rams' defense dominated the Cowboys' offense on third down. Dallas went just 1-for-10 in those crucial spots, which, again, falls on the shoulders of Dak. And in my opinion, there's no way they do that to Drew Brees here. Another problem the Rams will have is if they fall behind early like they did for their midseason meeting with the Saints after New Orleans raced to a 35-14 lead in the second quarter. The Rams wound up rushing just 19 times in a 45-35 loss, and they had to abandon the run. If they do it this time, it's lights out. More issues that stopped me from backing the Rams financially was the Rams are averaging only 200 passing yards per game over a recent play. Their passing game has struggled severely since losing Cooper Kupp on the year. And it was a much bigger loss than people thought. And their offensive passing numbers just never recovered since. LA's home road splits also show a dramatic drop-off in almost every offensive category. 86 less passing yards per game on the road, 1.4 yards per pass attempt less, a half yard less per play. And their red zone scoring that was less than mediocre goes from being ranked 18th in the NFL to 21st away from home. I just can't bet on Goff on the road over Breeze. I can't bet on McVay over Peyton in the Dome. And I can't bet on this Rams defense over the Saints D at home. And in the trenches, Saints have the better offensive and defensive line. I know the Rams are a little healthier than the Saints right now, but in a game where the point spread is this close, I'll take the massive home field edge that New Orleans has and trust Drew Brees not to make any mistakes. I've seen Goff fold like a cheap suit under pressure too many times in his short career to think that he can handle the heat. The Saints' second-ranked defensive line will be bringing all day. I like the Saints here -3. I think you can catch that ticket.
Have you seen anything start to swing, the money, the point line, start to swing closer and closer we get to the New England and Kansas City game? Obviously, New England has to travel to Arrowhead. How much do you think that accounts, if at all, in the swinging of the point spread and or the money?
Well, the side has stayed frozen in Vegas and offshore on that key number of 3 so far, so there's been no sharp money that's attacked the screen that has gone into the betting market on either side here. The total, we did see a huge 4.5-point dip in the market. It got to as low as 54 before we saw some buyback in the market, which pushed it back up to where it currently sits, patiently at 55.5. They were expecting that Arctic blast, and now they're telling us the weather, moved north, so it's not going to hit, so the weather ain't going to be as bad as they once thought in this game. And I mean, when you're looking at this matchup, and anyone who's been betting for a while, I've been betting for over 30 years, and I've witnessed, amazing things from the Patriots and Belichick and what Brady has done against the closing Vegas number. So I learned a long time ago, you got to throw all the metrics out the window when you're looking to handicap, this game. On offense, we all know the Chiefs average almost a full yard more per pass attempt, a full yard more per play, ranked 12 spots higher in red zone scoring efficiency. And when the Patriots are, on the road, they drop down to 29th in the league in that metric. So they really have problems scoring in the red zone on the road. But how many times have we seen New England's defensive mastermind, Belichick, shut down a high-powered offense over the years? It's just too many times. Moving on, I read a ton on this game, everything and anything I can get my hands on, from the metrics, from the analytics, trying to pick up, some tidbits of gold that will help me in a predictive manner. And a piece of info that has led me to look to bet the Chiefs here, call me crazy, has nothing to do with Kansas City at all. It had to do with the Chargers' travel plans after their wild card victory. The fact that the Chargers played arguably the best defense in the AFC, the Ravens, in a grueling game, and instead of staying on the East Coast, they flew home afterwards, then flew back to Foxborough and got annihilated by New England, basically told me that as great as that Patriots victory looked last week, it could very well be skewed because of the amount of travel mileage the Chargers put on their body in such a small amount of time this late into the season. The number Vegas put out in this game, in my opinion, is a little light. I made the game 4.5. I think the Chiefs are just a better team here. Then you add the fact that the Patriots away from home went just 3-5 this year with a negative 19-point differential. I started to lean towards Andy Reid here. Everyone knows the Chiefs' defensive metrics have been bad all year, ranking in the basement of the NFL in opponent yards per play, opponent yards per pass attempt, opponent yards per game, and opponent yards per rushing attempt. But how many times have we seen Tom Brady rip apart and beat a good defense throughout his career? What has always given Brady problems has never been an opposing team's defensive metrics. It's been pressure. And the one thing the Chiefs' defense is good at is sacking the quarterback. They arguably have the best pass rush in the NFL this year. And if Eric Berry plays, which looks like a real possibility, the emotional lift he's going to give this team might be enough to take down the GOAT and the Patriots. Obviously, we all know by now, you'll go broke betting against Tom Brady long term. But when the books are making the greatest quarterback of all time an underdog and begging for Patriots money, I'm betting on the Chiefs here, man. I like the Chiefs -3. I think they win the game.
Philly Godfather with us. Final one, you look at the totals for both of these games, right around 56 points in each game, and I'm looking at a couple of things online, and it looks like the public wagers coming in either in Vegas or offshore, both of which are leaning towards the under. I'm a little surprised because when I saw specifically the Rams and the Saints, I saw 56, 56 and a half. I'm thinking, oh, man, they played the first time around, 70 points combined in the dome, controlled climate. The public's going to be all over the over, yet it looks like over 60% are taking the under. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're expecting both these teams to run the ball, and we saw how great the Rams ran the ball last week. So they're talking about chewing up the clock, you know, control time of possession, which will, you know, usually leads, you know, the game to go under. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure in that dome. I think Drew Brees can light up that defense, and I haven't bet the total yet in that game, but I did bet the over 54 in the Chiefs game. I know that was a big move due to the weather, but now they're talking about the weather's not going to hit as hard, and it's not going to be as cold, and there's really going to basically going to be 5 to 10 mile an hour winds. So the weather's not going to affect those teams from scoring at all, and the over is actually 114-80, 58.8% towards the over in games played in temperatures colder than 30 degrees since 2003. So it's a myth that, you know, just because it's cold and it's, you know, it's frigid out there that these games stay under, when at the end of the day, the reality is these games usually go over in cold weather as long as the wind doesn't pick up 15, 20, 22, 25 miles an hour. These games have been going over the last 16 years. So, you know, I like the over in the Chiefs game. I haven't bet the total in the Saints game yet. I'm going to wait for, you know, for that line to fully mature. But, you know, as of right now, I like the over in the Chiefs.
TheFillyGodfather.com on Twitter at PhillyGodfather. Great stuff as always. We'll chat with you in a couple of weeks as we get ready for the Super Bowl. And until then, best of luck with all the moves.
Thanks, man. Good luck, guys. Have a good
one. You got it. Philly Godfather joining us. You know what we got to do? We've got to do two things. One, we got to do our picks. But also, we need to address the constable. Because Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst,
has a lot of thoughts.
Has a lot of thoughts on Twitter right now about the whole evolution of the constable, and when you can use the phrase the constable. We'll hash that out when we come back here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from Kitchen Notes inside the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll get some calls in here in a moment. We're also going to get our picks, but one of the things that is really great is not only is our audience very attentive on social media, but some of our coworkers and weekly contributors and guests are very active and listen to the show. We know earlier in the show how Gil was listening as far as Chase with his hair. Also, Chris Mason, who does the analyst work on the television side, has chimed in on this whole constable discussion. I think we need to address it, and let's bring the constable in to kind of set everything up and talk about the fact that he has ran with this character.
Talk about.
This creation, and now actually refers to himself as the constable.
Well, because, you know, as I said in the tweet, I'm like The Rock. So, you know, I refer to myself in the third person now.
Let's explain where this starts.
Well, I'm getting in there. He just put me on the spot, so I'm trying to pull the tweets up. So,
you want me to read it, Jason?
I got it. Chris Mason tweets, what's the protocol on calling yourself by your own nickname? Is that allowed? Hashtag constable. And Nick and Braden immediately weighed in on this, giving their thoughts. So what do you think? I mean, I guess it's murky, but I didn't give myself the nickname.
You did.
I don't think there's anything wrong with using your own nickname. Like, I don't think there's any rule or regulation. Like, if we call Derek, let's say your nickname on the show is Mace. Let's just say that. Like, if you were to introduce yourself to somebody, you meet somebody in a formal setting or whatever, and you're like, hey, I'm Mace. Like, that wouldn't be, I don't think that's out of line. I don't think that's inappropriate at all.
But isn't that an abbreviation of his real name?
But it's still a nickname. I'm just saying, like, okay, your nickname is, I don't know, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And you introduce yourself as, hey, man, because people call you Tennessee in your life, and everybody calls you that. If you just said, hey, what's up? I'm Tennessee. People call me Tennessee. I don't think that's really out of line.
No.
If you give yourself the nickname, I think that's the violation. I think that's where people can start issuing you citations. If you give yourself the nickname, I don't have a problem with, and frankly, from 6 to 10, the constable, and I said this on Twitter, it's not even just a nickname, it's a way of life.
Yeah.
The constable is a state of being. It is a mental attitude. The constable is more than just a nickname. It is a persona. It's a way of life. And so I think the constable can call himself the constable at bars talking to ladies.
Yeah.
I think you walk up and say, miss, this can be – that's a violation.
Yeah.
You've been pounding beers at the bar all night. That's a violation.
Hey, I'm the constable.
I'm the constable. Yes, that's right. You heard it right. So I don't have a problem with Chase calling himself the constable at all.
Me either.
Chris Mason is actually starting a movement.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Got the hashtag on Twitter, love the constable.
What was the – somebody else tweeted us – today, and what was our hot dog hashtag? somebody, oh man, I'll have to look it up because we've had a few hashtags on the show today that I think. Also, James chimed in and says they do the DUI exercise at the police academy in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
He says he's done it, participated in it, and it was a very fun and interesting exercise. I would like to know what they do. Like,
do they put you in a car in like a or
right,
they,
like
they
a wide open walk, space
exactly.
or whatever? Like,
do they let you walk around?
I would hope it's. I would assume it's driving.
Yeah,
and they give you alcohol and they have you drive, but it's all in like probably a closed circuit.
And the car
course.
Can only go a certain miles per hour. Yeah,
and so they want you to see how different your brain works. I'm assuming that's what they want you to sort of go through is while they're studying the car's motion, right, to detect whether or not who's driving. You're probably learning, hey, this is really how bad it gets. Like, this is how
exactly.
much it can affect you. And hopefully it teaches people not to drink and drive. As if anybody needed to be taught that. Luke on Twitter says, hashtag no hot dogs. Hashtag no bar girls.
There we go. I like it. I like
That's
it.
Derek Mason's way of life.
All right, we'll make our picks coming up in just a moment. Let's get a phone call, though. It's 615-737-1025. Nate wants to chime in on the discussion we were having earlier about Nick Saban. He's up next on Morning Drive. What's up, Nate?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to put my perspective in. I don't really fault Dan for not mentioning to Saban, hey, I'm interviewing, or hey, I interviewed for this job, because I wouldn't do that with my employer, because they could then say, oh, wait, well, you interviewed? What are you doing? Oh, see ya. Mm-hmm. But I do fault him for leaving in the middle of the night. Basically, did what Lane Kiffin did to Tennessee. But yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. Appreciate
yeah,
the call,
I mean, listen.
Was that the same thing with Lane?
Similar, yeah. And not obviously, it was a bigger deal. Head coach leaving,
yeah.
from a major prominent university like that, and sort of the way he did it. But I mean, I think. Listen, I don't know a walk of life where when you interview for another job, when you have a current job, that you go and
yeah.
I mean, unless you have a really great relationship with the person that's right above you, if you've got a great relationship with your superior and that person isn't threatened at all by you going and interviewing, mm-hmm. I don't think that's really that unusual in any walk of life for someone to be going. In fact, what most smart business people will tell you is you should be constantly looking for the best next opportunity so that you don't.
But if you've taken a job, shouldn't you say, hey, listen, I've taken the job and see ya.
Yeah, that one's a little different, but that's also a coaching thing.
Yeah.
That's what makes that business different is it's so cutthroat and it's so different. And like I can't – like jobs that rely on commission versus jobs that are really stable, right? There's just differences in mm-hmm. certain career paths. And like our industry has – like we have certain things in our contracts that don't allow us to go do certain things. Like every career is different. Every uh-huh. industry is different.
Okay, we've got the big finish coming up in just about 10 minutes, but let's get to prediction time for the championship games. We'll start with the NFC Championship, the New Orleans Saints, a 3.5-point home favorite against the Rams. I am going to take the Saints, and I think the Saints are going to win by at least a touchdown in this game. Reason being, I don't trust some of the high-priced, high-talent, loose cannons on the Rams defense. Mm. Peters
isn't any good.
Tlaib.
That guy sucks.
I think they are going to bust under the pressure. I take the Saints by a touchdown.
Tlaib's a really good player, though.
And Tlaib has been there before. He won a Super Bowl with New England.
He's very good. And when they put him on Michael Thomas, oh, man, that's a heck of a matchup. Watch out. Listen, I had Saints over Patriots in the Super Bowl back in August. There's no reason for me to change. I'm going to stick with it. I'll take Saints and the Patriots. But I wouldn't be surprised if either team, if the Chiefs won or if the Rams won. These games were both high scoring in the regular season. It was 43-40 New England, and it was 45-35 New Orleans. I think they're both probably in the same world again this time. I think they're both high scoring. I like the overs for both of them. But I would not be surprised if the most important player I think this weekend is Chris Jones for the Chiefs. If Chris Jones like the Titans did, if they can go up the middle on Tom Brady and disrupt in the interior of that offensive line, that's where you can attack Tom Brady and win. I don't think the Patriots stop the Chiefs. So if Chris Jones and that defense can pressure Brady and slow them down just a little bit, the Chiefs can win. But otherwise, I'll stick with my original prediction.
I think the Rams look at what was done to New Orleans last week, what Philadelphia was able to do. Now, Philadelphia don't have the, you know, coverage guys that I think the Rams have. Even it's Peters being not as good as, you know, many think he is, he's better than what Philly
the Eagles
has.
Have.
Exactly.
He's been chirping a little too much lately.
Yeah, but he's tried to downplay that whole him and Peyton, him and Sean Payton thing. I got the Rams winning this game.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think, you know, because of what Philly was able to do last week.
Look at Breeze's last month.
Yeah, them getting to lead back, you know.
The Saints' offense has not been dominant the last month.
I just think the Rams, you know, the Rams are going to go to New Orleans and they're going to pull out. They're going to win by less than 7 points. So I got the Rams going into the Superdome, Mercedes-Benz Dome, excuse me, and pulling off that victory.
Okay, Chase McCabe, what do you got for the NFC title game?
I got the Saints. I mean, I have them going all the way, so I'm going to stick with them. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Drew Brees and that offense, they're going to squeak by the Rams and head to the Super Bowl.
All right, I'm going to go AFC Championship, the Kansas City Chiefs, also a 3-point favorite over the New England Patriots. Belichick is 6-2 lifetime against Andy Reid. Tom Brady is ticked off for greatness, and it won't matter. Give me the Chiefs. They win by more than 3 points.
Interesting. What's the deciding factor there?
I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes and the ability to improvise. And also, Belichick is great at taking away one really good player. Mm-hmm. Chiefs have two. If they take away Hill, it's Kelsey. If they take away Kelsey, it's Hill. They're going to find a way to score points.
But I think they're going to find a way to run the football, too, to Kansas City. I just think this is the year Andy Reid has put it all together. Offensively, he has a really good pass rush. Now, the thing that might help Kansas City is that New England don't have down the field threats, and Gronkowski is just a walking just like mesh of different injuries, and he's not going to be able to give you in that code what you would want from him. I think they get to push up the middle, harass Tom Brady. And the Chiefs win by 7 points or more. I think this is the year where they just
– You guys are both on the Chiefs.
They just dominate. They're going to they,
– I'm on the Chiefs.
They're going to dominate the
– So you're all on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
All right.
And it might end up being a high-scoring game.
Listen, me and the Patriots, listen, everybody thinks we suck. Everybody thinks we can't win. Everybody thinks we're garbage.
You and
everybody thinks we can't do anything.
You and Tommy.
Me and Tommy,
it's over.
Sorry, that way. Listen, I would love nothing more, but one guy has played in one playoff game, the other guy's played in like 50. So I'll take the guy who's played in 50.
Constable, you're on Kansas City as well?
Yes.
Okay. Good analysis. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
When we come back, it is time for the big finish, which, of course, will feature the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. And then at 10 o'clock, I'm going to get out of Kitchen Notes. I'm going to walk out of the Omni Nashville Hotel, and I'm going to head directly to Woodhouse Day Spa in Midtown Nashville, because right now, you can't go wrong with a gift card from America's favorite day spa. Yes, Woodhouse has been awarded this many years running by the spa professionals at American Spa Magazine. Give the gift of relaxation and pure indulgence at the Woodhouse Day Spa in Midtown. They are conveniently located in Midtown and offering complimentary valet parking, champagne, mimosa, and chocolates, along with over 70 luxury spa services. And right now, the number one option is the Woodhouse Private Couples Retreat, which includes a couples massage and a VIP private room. The Woodhouse Day Spa in Midtown Nashville. Check them out today at nashville.woodhousespas.com. And welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in here on a Friday as we go into conference championship weekend. We've got the big finish here as, of course, we'll get to what we've learned today and, of course, on tap tonight. But right now we start with the audio recap of today's show. It's called the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. And Smashville, good morning and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive off and running here on a Friday. As we are broadcasting live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Nikhail Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, the Constable Chase McCabe, back in the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet.
So
gentlemen.
So you would say he's back in the studio by himself and with himself and his thoughts, maybe?
Yeah, in a black and white picture, posing, pondering his existence.
Contemplative Constable.
Yes.
I just want to go back to sleep, to be honest with you.
Go back to bed.
I'm minimal. Maybe
I think all the Preds agree with you.
And maybe the Preds will go back to bed as well.
Did they
ever
wake up?
Not a good one last night. What's that?
Did they ever wake up?
Yeah, that would be assuming that they actually woke up. So, yeah. All right, that's two shots now, kicking people while they're down. I don't know if we need to do that anymore, but we got that out of the way.
We did. Omni Nashville Hotel. Stop on by, grab a biscuit. The only person that really can't do that is Chase McCabe. He's back back in the studios.
Mean-spirited.
Come on, man.
I take a little jab.
Rubbing the constable's nose in
you know
exactly.
What? Listen here.
Whoa.
You're gonna throw jabs out like while you can't hear, complaining about your headset and all this stuff. You know?
No. Don't worry, we're gonna get to your haircut update in a minute. I know you're eager to tell the people about your little grooming experience.
We could take people behind the curtain a little bit. Nick, you are I don't know how to put this. You do have the
high
most
maintenance?
You do have the most
yes.
needs.
Yeah.
Of anybody when it comes to like microphone and headsets
yeah,
and like
hot tea.
Let's face it, Derek, and you know this as a receiver. When you want excellence, high maintenance comes along with it. You know, it's just part of the package. Yeah, you got to take the good with the bad.
It takes a lot of maintenance to be this good.
Exactly.
All right, when we come back, the first mock draft of the year is out from ESPN's Mel Kiper. It's never too early to mock. And let's just say he takes a pick at 19 that if this would come to fruition, I think a majority of us would be very dissatisfied.
We're going to mock the mock.
We're going to mock the mock. We're going to rock out with our mock out. Exactly.
Rock out with our mock out?
Exactly right. Morning drive.
Wow.
We're back after this. But you trimmed up the lettuce yesterday, and you sent us a picture of it this morning in the group text, and I think we should address this a little bit.
Well, I didn't trim it much. I mean,
you
just
need to
barely.
Post that picture online.
I don't want to.
Why do you not want to post the picture that you sent
us? Because it's a bad picture of me because I'm half asleep.
Is it because you look really creepy?
Yeah, because I'm half asleep.
Can we please post this?
No.
I mean, we have access to the photos, so we could post
yeah.
it.
No, we could. We could certainly do that. But I'm wondering, so you did a little trimming of the lettuce. Now, are you going to leave it untouched until the postseason is over for the Preds? Because I think you should go full out facial hair and hair on top of your head. Just let everything blossom until the Preds either win the cup or are eliminated.
I love that idea, but here's the problem. I am in the media, so if I'm, you know, going around to other cities during the playoffs and, you know, I'm looking like, you know, Bigfoot, I don't know how that's going to go.
Well, they would have to beat the Jets, though, for that to happen.
Exactly.
Well, I still have to go to Winnipeg.
You're not going to look homeless in two series.
Yeah, let's not make it like out
you're
to
not
be.
Yeah, but if I start now.
Good. Have you seen most media
members?
No.
I think what we should let the hair grow now, but I think you should start the beard at the start of the playoffs. Let the hair grow at the start of the playoffs. When the playoffs start, you don't get a trim anywhere, hair or face, and you just let it go. And if the Preds make it to the Stanley Cup final, guess what? You'll look like Bigfoot, and that'll be a small price to pay for making it to the Stanley Cup final.
Because, see, you know, here's the problem. As soon as the team gets wind of this, they're not going to let me cut my hair.
Good.
Exactly. Listen, the only reason I know that I can grow a beard is because of Sean Henry.
Number four.
Speaking of taking shots, a town in Pennsylvania, and I didn't get the name of the town, so I apologize for that.
Latrobe.
The police department is asking for volunteers to get drunk so they can be a part of a DUI exercise for training. So you can go. They'll buy your liquor. It's hard liquor. You can do shots. You can drink whatever you want to get inebriated so you can go through a training exercise. So I have signed us up. So we're good to go.
Signed all three of us up.
So D-Mace is going to pound some beers.
Let me pound my grandma, yay, and then... They're going to put you in the
You'll be the only one in the line. Everybody will be there. We're all there's like 10 people lined up. We're over here by the airport in Nashville because the Nashville PD is doing this for everybody, the Metro Police Department. They're doing this test. It'll be like 10 of us lined up, and we're all like, heck yeah, give us some drinks. And D-Mace is over there, excuse me, there's no Grand Marnier. I don't think I can be a part of this any longer. And I need a heating pad, please.
Hey,
it's cold.
You got to have a Grand Marnier and a heating pad. Hey, you like what you like.
Sign me up, Chaser. I'm
in. Get to liking it.
You got Panthers, you got Wildcats,
Tigers.
By the way, what's a Wildcat? By the way, you get Tigers.
It's a type of offense where the running back takes a direct snap from the center.
It's not always the guy. That's the same with the RPO. Just because the running back's taking the snap does not mean it's a Wildcat offense. Just like the RPO.
Where's Dan? That's a great question. Where's Dan?
Dan Muse. Dan yes. Amuse. Dan Enos.
Dan the man.
That's the Lieutenant morning drive.
Dan. Lieutenant Dan.
Daily Lieutenant Rewind. Dan. We've got the on tap tonight coming up in a moment. But first, Constable, let's get to what we learned today.
Now what we learned today.
So I learned today, and I was of the belief to begin with, but now it's been confirmed that some of the brightest analysts of your Nashville Predators, Hal Gill, Chris Mason, avid listeners of Morning Drive. It's been proven today. They know good. They have good taste.
Yeah.
What I learned today is that you can make a biscuit with chocolate chips in it, and it will change your life. Kitchen Notes, thank you. Mm-hmm. My life is forever better because of your chocolate powdered sugar biscuits. I love your biscuits, Kitchen Notes. I love your biscuits.
What I've learned is that sometimes it's not even a food that brings you to an establishment. It's the chairs. I would just come and sit at Kitchen Notes for the chairs alone. Those things are nice. They're wide.
Why don't you cushy. Pull the range up around back, and we'll slip one of these chairs in the back of the range and take it to the studio.
I believe that's theft.
Can we get four of them?
But it's only—they're not that expensive, so they're just misdemeanors. It's not a felony.
Exactly.
Unless they're about $125 a piece, then it's over $500, which makes it felonious.
All right, Chaser.
If you would like an appetizer, if you look to your right, that is former Titans wide receiver Derek Mason. He just comes in here and sits every day. He doesn't do anything.
It's part of our ambiance, actually. He serenades you with his blues guitar.
Sir, you're going to have to buy something. No, I'm just going to sit in this chair.
That's all. No.
I mean, most restaurants in Nashville do have somebody, local musicians playing songs. Mm-hmm. You could bring the old blues guitar in here and pick a few licks for the folks here.
Just give me a chair.
Just one comfy chair.
One comfy chair.
All right, Chaser, let's get the on tap tonight.
It's your guide for the happenings around town and what to watch from your couch. Here's what's on tap tonight. Now on Morning Drive.
I never get to learn anything on this show.
That's because you work with the three of us.
Yeah. That's true.
I am going to go a little college basketball. It's a great day tomorrow of hoops. But it gets started with a triple header, and I'm going to go with the first game. What I believe, forget rankings, I just believe the Tennessee Volunteers are the best team in America right now.
Whoa.
So I'm going to watch the Vols take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. 1 o'clock on the deuce.
I'll let you, D-Mace, handle the association and NFL. Uh-huh. Preds, of course, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. But college hoops tomorrow, Kentucky and Auburn, two top 15 teams at 3. Ooh. Immediately following, of course, the Tennessee Vols. Then you got Virginia and Duke. Duke, of course, probably is actually the best team in America. Tennessee probably number 2. But Virginia and Duke, two top 4 teams in the country playing big-time rivalry in the ACC. That should be really good. Also, some stuff going on tomorrow morning around the downtown area. Come out and say hello. My little daughters would be out there.
Ah, there we go. All right. Well, for me, there are a few things, obviously. There's a big fight this weekend. Adrian Broner versus Manny Pacquiao.
Ooh, there you go.
On pay-per-view. But I will.
You paying for it so we can come view it?
Yeah, I'm paying for it so people can come view it.
I like it.
We got the Thunder and the 76ers play this weekend, so I will catch a little bit of that. That's Saturday. Obviously, the AFC NFC championship games, I will be watching that. I'm trying to see if there's anything else.
That's a lot of stuff this weekend.
Any big games.
We got a fight. We got Preds. We got huge college hoops. We got two big NFL games. Quite
exactly.
A weekend.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's really about it. Nothing tonight as far as the association. No games that I really want to see. Grizzlies play the Celtics tonight. So whoever want to catch that.
Undefeated can. Michigan, by the way, on the road against Wisconsin tomorrow.
That's
always
a hard place to play in.
Chaser, I believe you can hear that one.
Yeah, you can hear it on the radio. Yeah,
right here on our channel.
Oh. 102.5 The Game. Good. Or is it 94.9?
One of the two.
Chaser's giving us the cue to wrap up. We got to go. Have a great weekend. We'll talk about it all at Monday at 6 o'clock.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, have a wonderful weekend, and I love you.